With a pension, which is the beauty of a pension, if we don't have the money, then we pass on additional costs to public employers. And so I hope I'm remembering this correctly. We're currently at something like 28 cents on the dollar for every government worker, give or take. It varies based on county, city, state, depending on what sort of monies they have available to shore up their costs of their pension. But we were looking at that rate going up to something like 35 cents on the dollar. For every dollar that a worker makes, we would be paying 35 cents in retirement costs. And then when you get to that level, and looking out further, the pension actuaries were telling us that might come further, it starts to impact the state's budget in terms of services. Maybe there would be reductions in services or reductions in programs, or worse, hiring freezes or layoffs. And so we hobbled a bunch of different things together, and I think the Labor Notes article did a very accurate job of what the bill does. And my guess is that really the only thing that was controversial with the public sector labor movement was the contribution that we asked Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees to make in the PERS system. And then the OPSERP folks, which we don't call PERS anymore, Tier 3 is that sometimes referred to, the contribution that we asked them, the little bit of diversion from their wages to shore up the pension. And that was a very tough vote for me as a union person, but I felt that stabilizing that pension was an important thing to do. Our actuaries tell us that eventually, given the bill that we just passed, the rates will be stabilized. We won't be passing on higher retirement rates to government employers. And that eventually, due to this bill, and to use the euphemism that pension actuaries use, the aging out of Tier 1 and Tier 2 employees, the cost of our retirement system will go back to something more like 11, 12 cents on the dollar. We're eventually going to get out of this situation that we're in. And that seemed like the thing that we needed to do to keep this pension stable. I'll also tell you, Teresa, that politically, we passed the largest tax increase on large businesses in this state, probably in the history of the state of, in the history of our existence, maybe the largest tax increase since we created the income tax in the 1930s during the Great Depression. And candidly, there was not going to be a large tax increase passed on large businesses in this state without some reining in of the cost of the public employee retirement system.
Well, now that speaks to something I was going to ask you, which is the frame. Now, when you say it's the largest increase in the revenue from corporations, Oregon has some amazingly low tax rates for corporations.
You
and
are correct.
I think everyone that remembers that Nike, for example, was brought in for a special, well, what I have frequently called bootlicking session by General Kitzhaber back when. And the frame that it's put in is so often that, well, we just can't, that we have to actually compete with instead of actually coordinate with other states in taxing large corporations. And so that reduces whatever revenue is left then into a zero-sum game. And so with the zero-sum game frame in place, then it seems more reasonable to say, oh, well, we can't spend this money on what we said that we will do because we need money for kids or whatever, and we all get put in competition with each other for the scraps. It's that frame that I would push back on.
You know, it's not easy to raise taxes anywhere in the country on large businesses, and we've been in the hunt of trying to change the tax structure in this state since the 1990s when all these right-wing property tax measures were passed by different anti-government, anti-tax entities. And you know, that's kind of how I got my start politically in this state, in the gay rights movement in 1992, and I'd only been out for a year, and I moved here, and the OCA was putting all these crazy town initiatives on the ballot against the gay community, and then fighting property tax initiatives because that was the thing that was wreaking havoc in the budgets for the universities and for the K-12 system. And so it's not easy to tax the rich. It took us almost 30 years to get a supermajority of Democrats in place where we could pass a bill that would raise enough revenue to improve funding for schools and pass the legislature, get the governor's signature, and gratefully not be referred by conservative interests to the ballot for every voter in this state to vote on. One of the things that...
I'm sorry, I'll have to interrupt because we have to go out. We have to be joined by membership Central again. So hold that thought.
Okay, I will.
And we'll get back to that in just a few moments. The number to call is 877-552-66. And John and Ken are joining us now. And I'm hoping that I can hear if someone has called in with their Trump bump and have gotten come in to get their impeachment.
Well, that's what we want to do. We want people to call in with the Trump bump. Help us out. And one of the ways to do that is if you're already a regular giver to KBOO, thank you. And now we are asking you to bump it up for Trump and offer another dollar more, or $5 more to your gift per month. And that'll really help us a lot. If a number of people did that, that would be a significant increase to the work of KBOO and keeping Teresa's show on the air. Teresa is one of the hardest working people I know and bringing news you're not supposed to know. Shh, don't tell anyone. But she does an incredible program, and we can tend to take those things for granted. And KBOO can be taken for granted. You just turn it on. It's the radio. It's free. But it isn't. It costs. And we are a community that's paying that cost together. And so we're inviting you to participate right now with the Trump bump, 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Or if you come in person, we have this festive can of impeachments, can of peaches with two mints on top just for you.
Yes, and we're at 20 Southeast 8th, just a half block south of East Burnside. The number to call is 877-500-5266. We have people here at the phones. They can walk you through the process. John, in addition to the can of impeachments, and that's something that we're not going to ship out to you. We'd hope you'd come by. We could also give you a tour of the station if you do. We'd be very happy to do that, show you where your money's going.
We'll even take a selfie with you.
But well, you'll have to pay double for us not to take a selfie with you, I think. But for $5 a month as a sustaining member, you can get that KBOO beanie. It's a knit cap. It's nice and warm. It's got the KBOO logo on it. And that's $60 a year, $5 a month. You can do that through credit card, debit card, through your checking account, whatever's easiest for you. Again, we can walk you through the process. It's simple. It won't take very long. If you're driving right now to work, just remember the number 877-500-5266. Or if you have Bluetooth, give us a call now. Or you can go online when you get close to a computer or your phone, kboo.fm.
And this is an important time to give. Not only is it the holiday season, so we're in the spirit of giving, but it's also a time of great necessity. We just heard Dennis Bernstein on Flashpoints, if you had a chance to catch his show today, talking about the importance of truth-telling and truth-tellers. And the mainstream media, including all of the cable channels, don't address it. And that's what you get here at KBOO, is information, people, interviews, things that you don't hear elsewhere, and it's important for our lives together. And so we come, and we're not at all bashful about saying, hey, $5 a month, please, let's do it right now. You get the hat, and you'll do the Trump bump, and we'll help make this truth-telling enterprise helpful to everyone. So that phone number again, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Or kboo.fm online, or come down to the radio station at 20 Southeast 8th Street in person, and we'll give you a can of impeachments. And now we're going to go back to Teresa.
Thank you so much. I hope you're calling right now. Remember, you can get it on the podcast. Just use the search engine, find the podcast, review, and rate us so other people can find KBOO. And please join now at 877-500-5266. I'm back with Representative Noce, and we were talking about Senate Bill 1049, which brought up the primary challenge, and trying to frame what happened there. And I want to say that although this may work out to slightly more time than I gave to your challenger, Kreisman, I figure that I'll make up for it by really chewing on you on this.
Fair enough. I know what I signed up for. It's
right.
Okay.
And I should say that this is, I'm trying to do a good faith interview on both sides here and get the word out, and not trying to make your decision for you in the election or the primary. But yeah, so the PERS was very slightly reduced by that. But I think the union would say, well, they would say this is a slippery slope. They would say,
yes,
you made a promise and you backed off on it. And you're not the only Democratic. As a matter of fact, I think the entire Democratic representative contingent is now facing consequences from that vote.
There were Democrats that voted no.
This was about rage. And I think I will explain that rage in a minute. But you were saying in regards to how that was, you know, that frame that you found yourself in.
You know, again, I'll try it this way, Teresa. In politics, the big topics all touch each other. It's very rarely where you can vote on something that's super important in isolation of other things. It's a little bit like being in a union when you're doing collective bargaining with the employer. You know, benefits, wages, the boot allowance, the uniform allowance, just cause, all those things start to come together sometimes in bargaining when the employer and the union are really in the throes of it. And it's not really that much different in the state legislature. And for us to be able to pass a historic tax increase to finally get more money into our starving K-12 system, this was one of the things that we had to do. We had to rein in the cost a little bit. And ultimately, I believe this bill will not be a slippery slope. We got a little bit of good news the other day in that folks who were trying to put initiatives on the ballot to, I think, do more draconian things to the public employee retirement system have pulled back from their initiatives. They're not going to be filing their petitions. They're not planning to circulate to get signatures to put that on the ballot.
I see. Well, here's your chance to get in on the conversation for the next 10, 15 minutes. You're going to have to be fast, and you're going to have to dial this other number, 503-231-8187. I'll give it to you again. In the 503 area code, it's 231-8187. You can call in and speak directly to Representative Noss. And, well, let me give you what it's like then. I know that you are a union activist, and you are, you know, pro-union, but I'll give it to you for what it's like as a retiree to hear anything that reduces a retirement agreement. From my perspective as a retiree, I'll get really personal. In my case, my back is messed up. There's a miraculous surgery that was called a Brannigan cage that was done to me in 2003. And it worked for more than a decade until the so-called titanium screw, which obviously wasn't a titanium screw, broke. And now I am, sometimes I can scamper around like I always did, and a lot of the time I groan and just nearly crawl about. And I use a cane, and I can't work because whoever takes me on, and KBOO found this out actually last year, whoever takes me on ends up taking care of me because the back is just in terrible condition. And so I am lucky enough to be on Social Security, which is, you should know, it needs to be repeated, even here in Oregon, is a pay-it-forward insurance scheme. It's not a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi
right.
scheme yep. is a distribution of fake profits and an accumulation of wealth from suckers. Social Security is simply an effective insurance scheme, and I paid forward for more than 40 years of work, and I'm pleased to take it right back out. So I'm glad to get that, but I also had a pension from TriMet, and TriMet, as I was mentioning before, really didn't want to give us higher wages, so we fought for the pensions, and the pensions, as Representative Noss mentioned earlier, are affected by, well, death. And here's another point.
And investments.
And investments, yeah. And here's something that you should think of, those of you of my generation. Statistically, if you think you're going to stick it out and retire after 65, the insurance companies like that. Maybe not individually, or maybe it's not a moral judgment, but if you retire after 65, very much after 65, then they know statistically that within 18 months you're likely to die. You've overstressed yourself. If you can retire earlier, you should. And I did. And so I get the retirement.
Good to know. I just turned 52. So.
Yeah, don't overdo it. and I get less money because I retired earlier, but I get that money. And it was a deal that we made and we fought hard for. And the deal was, you know, we pay forward however much into the pension fund and we get it back and they never touch it. And it's terrifying to think that they would. And I know that there are people in TriMet management who would love to take away the pension. like so many organizations have across the country. And if you don't know, what they do is they just basically throw it away and they say, oh, you can have your money out of the great pension fund and you'll get $2 or $3, 2 or 3 cents out of the dollar. You'll get practically nothing if this is done politically. And so I watch what's happening with TriMet, and I am frightened with any, and I would consider it a slippery slope to take away 5 cents of my payout. Because there's nothing I can do about it. I can't work. I just can't. This is the latter, I hope, quarter or third maybe of my life. We shall see. But I can't work. And, whatever I get paid is what I get paid. And I don't have the energy to go necessarily out and campaign against that sort of thing. I'm just going to have to be subject to whatever happens. So for me, the slippery slope argument is huge, and I think that Representative knows that probably feeds into, I would say that terror feeds in in this society, in this this very, well, we like to say competitive, but frankly, it's a vicious and uncaring society. So any slippery slope idea that applies to pensions is just terrifying.
I understand.
No doubt you do, and all the representatives who signed on to that now. And I can't say that I'm unsympathetic, though. I mean, when I look at it, it was a very slow reduction, and it does happen within that unfortunate framing in the legislature and within the society, the idea that we just can't go after the Nikes. We just can't. We have to compete for their favors. And
my hope is that the bill is the provision where the workforce has to contribute to some of the cost of the retirement. If our investments come back to, we're about 75% funded, and if we get to about 90% funded, which our actuaries tell us is financially sound for a pension system, and if we get to that place sooner than the 15, 20-year sort of actuarial accumulation that our actuaries have told us we need to do or likely to hit, then we can stop the employee contribution sooner.
Okay, I will now lift the harrow and we can change the topic. And because I'm interested in unless you want to call in and talk about it, but
we'll see. Maybe someone will call in.
Yeah, I'm interested in how it plays out, how the political national scene is playing out at the local legislative level. I'm interested if people at the House and House of Representatives in Oregon and Salem and in your social circle and in your political circle, are they talking about impeachment and what are they saying?
That is a fascinating question. So the short answer is not very much, because right now the legislature is not in session, so we're not all together with each other. Your listeners may or may not know that Oregon's legislature in theory is part-time. We meet in a long session in the odd-numbered year, basically from the end of January to the end of June. And then it's only been a recent thing. This will be our fourth short session, basically in the even-numbered year for the month of February and the first week of March. And so we've not all been together sort of to be able to process as Democrats and Republicans, left, right, moderate, what's going on at the national level with the impeachment proceedings. And I would say, I know you'd want to get a Republican on here for counterbalance. I feel like for the most part, us as Democrats, we try very hard without compromising our values to at least create space and be accommodating to the Republicans in terms of giving them the space to talk about what's on their mind, introduce their bills, give them hearings. And I think impeachment's a very tough subject for Republican legislators, because I think privately, many people admit what this president is doing is wrong. But publicly, it's very politically dangerous for a Republican in this environment to go against the president when the president's bait is very popular with the Republican base that's been created by this presidency. So I think you find very many thoughtful Republican legislators who might privately agree that something like impeachment or darn near close to it is necessary, but publicly are going to struggle to admit that.
Hmm. This brings up the whole Trump phenomenon. I am more than cynical. My basic analysis of it is that it's actually about a white seizure of power, because the man just doesn't make sense. I think trying to make sense of it doesn't work on any superficial level. I have to go to deeper psychological states. And so I have to ask myself, as a white person who has always enjoyed the benefits of whiteness, very, very much, for example, getting jobs, applying for jobs. I guess I don't need to go into this too much.
Well, and just to be able to walk around on the street and in the culture and not have to worry about your safety.
Yeah.
Whereas if, you know, if you're an African-American man or a young person and you're wearing a hoodie, you have to be nervous about wearing a piece of clothing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and that affects even what we do here at KBOO. It's like I've been pushing the KBOO militant looking black hoodie. Well, guess who it's dangerous for? You know, it's like you have to have a certain amount of gall to wear that thing. If you're not a white person. So all of these, this is constant, and I am aware as a white person that I benefit from all of this, and that the benefit is unfair, and that it's going to be a change, and that whether I thought it was a good idea or not, or whether it's really fair to blame me for the whole idea of whiteness or not, I've been benefiting from it, and this Titanic has just hit an iceberg, and so I don't want to go into that cold water. And so I think that for persons like me who are subject to their more so, well, for conservatives, frankly, who are very much more socially conformist oriented, it's easier to listen to that deep part of your psyche that says, find some excuse, find some way to retain power, even if it's this ugly, this justice obstructing, this pussy grabbing embarrassment in office. And I think he said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and his followers would let it pass. And I think that's correct. I think it's a good assessment, because it's something that we really don't want to talk about in depth here. It's about the end of whiteness. What do you think of that analysis?
Well, you know, here's what I totally think that there's something to absolutely what you're saying. The other thing I would say is that it's about white people in the United States experiencing economic insecurity the way that people of color have always experienced it. And so we're living at a moment when we know that wealth is transferring away from average Americans. And if you're a white person now, you're experiencing that for one of the first times in the history of this culture. And so I just think that Trump is speaking to their anxiety, and then rather than figuring out how we can have a more progressive tax system, how we can make unions stronger, how we can sort of restore manufacturing in this country in some form or another, we're blaming immigrants, we're blaming people of color, and that plays very well with white folks who are frankly scared about their economic situation in a global economy.
You know, I wish a national politician would come out and just address it directly and say, hello, white folks, you know what? It's not actually a zero-sum game. It's going to be okay. We are going to pay reparations. It's going to be a better society. It's going to be a less fraught society. We'll all benefit from this, so let's go there. But I don't think I've heard a national politician talk like that yet.
It may be, you know, maybe Senator Warren and Senator Sanders, they try to go there, I think, a little bit in some of the things that they talk about.
All right. I just got a note saying that we are going to go to 9:55, so we have 3 minutes to wrap that up, and then we'll just go to a complete pitch break, and that should be fun. See if we can raise our goal on this, and so I thank you in advance for coming here and interviewing with me. Now, one of the last things I wanted to bring up here was the Oregon Legislative Exchange Council, and ask you what your experience has been. I was talking with you about it earlier, and you were saying that since we've had some Democratic Party hegemony, that ALEC has been less active.
I think that's been my experience, actually. We don't see a lot of bills and activity in this state from conservative think tanks that gather state legislators from across the United States together to introduce model legislation and concepts and parlay and think about what bills we might introduce.
Can you expand on that model legislation, what that
so
works out to be?
So what these think tanks do is they come up with bills. They hire lawyers, they draft bills in the form of statutes and laws that would be seen in states all across the United States, and they give them to conservative legislators and say, introduce this. And it could be about stand your ground, it could be about crime, it could be about abortion, it could be about gay rights, it could be anything, but they've got unions and union busting, and they've got model legislation that legislators can introduce.
They've got the bill written out.
Pretty much.
Hand it to you. You don't even have to draft it.
Pretty much. And so there may be activity in this state. It's quite possible that individual Republican legislators are members of that group or go to their conferences. But their bills don't tend to get hearings in the state of Oregon. We've got a pretty progressive legislature, and we don't give those kind of bills often the time of day. And luckily, just for your listeners might want to know, the success of ALEC has mirrored copycats, and finally progressives in the left are getting it together. And we have our own version of this. It's called SIX, and it's S-I-X, and I don't remember what that stands for, but if you Google it or you go progressive alternative to ALEC, you can find out a little bit about the think tank that's on the left or the progressive side of this, trying to push legislation and legislatures in the United States that benefit working people and regular people.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, ALEC was investigated by a KBOO team back in 2014, and I was going to say put ALEC into the search bar at KBOO, and you can do that, but some of the links are broken. And when I saw that some of the links were broken, I'm sorry, but I've been here for a long time, and over the 30 years and more that I've been broadcasting KAZI and KBOO, I have seen sabotage from time to time, direct, active sabotage, and I'm a little suspicious when I see the links are broken, but that doesn't mean that we can't fix the links. So I would say sometime, maybe a week from now, if you can possibly remember, put it in your schedule and search ALEC on the KBOO website, and you will see the fantastic work that was done. Sam Bowman and Jenka Soderberg are two names that come to mind. They are, received awards, or Jenka did anyway, for their work on ALEC. It's a very important topic because they are very active in legislatures across the nation, pushing the corporate agenda secretly. Representative Nose, thank you so much for joining
Teresa,
me today.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks for my impeachment.
Your personal impeachment, and I'm just... Have really enjoyed talking to you.
I bet likewise. I've enjoyed being on your show.
All right. Well, now we are joined by Membership Central. And let's see who we got now. We got John and Ken.
Oh, that's us.
All
thanks,
right.
Teresa. Great show. That's Press Watch. And I'm Ken here with my partner, John. As Teresa said, this is our holiday membership drive at KBOO. And it started Tuesday. It goes through Saturday. So it's not a very long drive. But it keeps us on the air. It keeps us going. And it's done that through... contributions, memberships from people like you, the listener, since 1968. The number to call if you're not a member or it's time to renew your membership is 877-500-5266. You can go online also at kboo.fm, John.
And we're very excited. We have a number of people who called in and have pledged to KBOO during this program with Teresa on Press Watch. Want to thank Linda from Northwest Portland, a gift in memory of Elena Kasouf. So thank you, Linda, and thank you for that idea of giving a gift in a memory of someone else or in honor of someone else. David of Lake Oswego also donated this morning, as well as Noah from Portland. So thanks those three. And you have a list, too.
Man, I've got five here.
All right.
We're very grateful to you all for not only listening to KBOO, but for picking up the phone today and becoming a member. We've got Vicky in North Portland,
hey.
Mary in Northeast Portland,
yeah.
Judy in Manzanita, hey. Oregon on the coast. I wonder what the weather's there like today. Probably beautiful. Huh?
I think it'd be a beautiful day for the ocean.
Yeah. Tim from Albany, Oregon. And we've got Clifford from Sumner, Washington.
Right.
He wants us to know, John, that he's not a dog and he's neither big nor red.
Okay. Thank you.
And
Clifford.
They all became members or renewed their membership today by calling us at 877-500-5266. Some of them might have gone online at kboo.fm. If you do give us a call, if it is time to become a member or renew your membership at that number, we have people here at the phones, volunteers. They'll walk you through the process. We suggest, since Teresa mentioned that hoodie, John.
Yes.
The black KBOO hoodie. That is a $25 a month sustaining membership, and we could do that through credit card, debit card, electronic fund transfer. Go ahead and do that. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. The people at the phone can set you up there, and that hoodie will be on the way. You can come down to the station and pick up your hoodie. And, John, you could also pick up...
a can of impeachments, very festively wrapped.
Right.
Peaches and mints, and in honor of our noble leader.
Right. One noble leader or so.
Yeah.
It's true that Nancy Pelosi did announce this morning that the House is going to go through impeachment. And I don't know if the vote was today or if the Judiciary Committee hearing, which was yesterday, is going to be extended. But impeachment seems like it is going to be an issue that will pass in the House.
And if you pass by KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Street, we'll give you, really, a free can of peaches and mints just for showing up. We got to get to Pear because he's going to fight the empire. And in the meantime, you can help fight the empire by calling 877-500-5266. One more time to imprint that number in your mind. 877-500-5266.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Personnel Committee meeting has changed for the month of December and will meet Thursday, December 12th, 6 p.m. at KBOO.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard. Bridges and Cafe Catering is a restaurant and catering company located in Northeast Portland on the corner of MLK Jr. and Northeast Knott Street. Their kitchen is about 75% organic and open daily. Lunch was provided by Le Bistro Montage, located in Portland Industrial District at 301 Southeast Morrison Street. Le Bistro Montage serves Creole cuisine open daily until 2 a.m. Dinner was provided by Wright Bayou Cajun Cuisine, a pop-up food cart located in the Portland area, providing a fusion of traditional New Orleans cuisine with fresh and local ingredients from the Northwest region. Find Wright Bayou Cajun Cuisine at local Portland events. See their Facebook for more details. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now for your support.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 10:01. Coming up, Fight the Empire, connecting colonial history with the latest world events. Donate during the show, and you'll have a chance to be gifted Michael Clare's book, All Hell Breaking Loose, the Pentagon's Perspective on Climate Change.